Take your Bibles out, Genesis chapter 25, page 19 in the Pew Bible there before you, if you want to take the Pew Bible out, as we start our search of verses 1 through 11, ending well. The main lesson before us is this: ending our life of faith well means we lived well a life of faith. One of my favorite movies, and perhaps you already know what it is, I think I've shared illustrations from this movie before, is a movie titled Second Hand Lions. It's got Robert Duvall and Michael Caine as the Hub and Garth. And I always want to say Hub and Garth Brooks, but it's not Hub and Garth Brooks. They are great uncles to a little boy named Walter, who happens to be a little wimpy boy of a mother who's very greedy. And she drops her son, Walter, off with their two great uncles that he had never met one summer. And it's thought that they had acquired a great wealth, so his mother assigned Walter the assignment of finding that wealth so that she could take it from them. Well, needless to say, Hub and Garth are well up in age now, and they're not too excited about this wimpy little Walter, great nephew that they have, come to spend the summer with them. But over the summer, the both of them warm up to Walter, and they form a very wonderful and rich relationship. And through that time, the brother Garth shares some of the stories of Hub and he as they grew up. Rich, wonderful stories of a life lived well. Well, in the concluding scene of the movie, Walter has grown up. He's in his mid-20s now. He's working. He's a cartoonist. And he gets a call from the sheriff back home where Hub and Garth live on their farm. And the sheriff asks him to come out to the farm. And there, when he gets to the farm, you see the sheriff's face and Walter's face, and that's it. They have this sort of a grin kind of on their face. And the camera pans around to the barn, and there in the barn is the tail end of a biplane upside down. And the sheriff tells Walter, "From what I can tell, these two 95-year-old men bought a biplane, and he figures that they were trying to fly through the barn upside down in that biplane. Well, needless to say, they didn't make it. They both were killed. And one of the lines in the whole movie that really sticks in my mind is what the sheriff said to Walter. He looks at Walter with just this matter-of-fact face and sort of a happiness in his voice, and he says, "Well, Walter, they died with their boots on. They lived life well, and they died exactly the way they wanted to go out, living life well on their own terms." That's one of the things that I enjoy about that movie, seeing these two men live life well. Well, in my own poetic way of looking at Abraham's death, as Isaac and Ishmael were standing outside the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, perhaps we could hear the long-serving servant of Abraham who found Isaac's wife Rebekah say to Ishmael and Isaac, "At least he died with his boots on." And this is what I take from that. He died with his boots on just simply means he ended his life of faith well because he lived well a life of faith. Dr. Longman shares this comment. He says, "We do not know when we will die, and the question all of us want to ask ourselves is, how will we end this life? Will we live lives of fear, doubt, withdrawal, and caution? Or will we, no matter what our age or even our physical ability, live lives with confident faith in God, seeking to impact the world for Christ?" All of us should live our lives anticipating our reception by God and striving for the greeting, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Abraham lived a remarkable life of confident faith in God, and his life ended well because he lived well a life of faith. Now let me ask this, let me make it a little personal this morning. How are you doing? How are you living? Are you living a life of faith? Doesn't matter if you're living it in anxiousness or fear. I'm sure Abraham did too a lot of the time. But what matters is how we live, because that will determine how well we end. So this morning we're going to look at these passages of Scripture. We're going to see three things concerning ending well. For Abraham, we're going to see, first of all, a stocked quiver. Secondly, we're going to see a steadying confidence in faith, even in his older age. And then thirdly, we're going to see the setting he left for Isaac to be blessed by God because he lived a life of faith. So those are the three things, not four, three things we're going to try to get through today. Amen? Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I get a praise the Lord? You guys are waking up. All right, let's get this going today. Let's take this ship off the ground. The first thing we see here, point number one, is ending well, a stocked quiver. Look at verses 1 through 6 with me once again. Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him all those people. Look down to verse 5. Abraham gave all he had to Isaac. But to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts, and while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the east country. Well, once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you as your sheep because you are our shepherd. And Lord, please lead us as a shepherd does the flock. Please give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for the treasure of your word. And Father, in our heart of hearts, with the magnification of the Holy Spirit within us, let us hear you speak to us personally. Showing us, Lord, how to live well a life of faith so that we can end well when it's time for us to go. In Jesus' name, I do pray. And all God's people said, amen. If you recall, we first meet Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Been a long time ago since we were there. But if you recall, when God called Abraham from Ur the Chaldeans, his hometown of Haran, how old was he? That's right, 75 years old. Y'all remember, I can see it in your face. You're just getting ready to say it before I said it. He was 75 years old. By all accounts, that was an old man, wasn't it? I mean, even the scriptures say that when God tells them that they're going to be, he and Sarah, mother and father, they're like, at this old age, we are. So, even in that old age, God calls Abraham to leave everything familiar and to go on this great journey of faith with him. And if you recall, God made two wonderful promises to Abraham. One was the promise of land, very important. Secondly was the promise of children. And not just a few, but children as many as the stars in the heavens, as many as the sand upon the sea. That's what the scriptures teach us. If you recall this grand promise of a great amount of progeny of seed, Genesis 13, 16, we see God saying to him, I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, God says to Abraham, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And then finally, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 6, God says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. Now, just like you and I would, we would have hesitated when God said that if we were 75 years old. Abraham did. But he still trusted the Lord. Now, flash forward to where we are in Genesis chapter 25. We're approximately 100 years later in this great patriarch's life, and the scriptures teach us that he now is on his third wife, Keturah, and through Sarah, through Hagar, through Keturah, he is now blessed with a stocked quiver. He got a late start on it, didn't he? He doubted he would ever get a start on it, didn't he? What did he do? He took things into his own hands. He's like, God, you're taking too long. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And what do you end up when you do that? An Ishmael. That's what you end up with. So 100 years later, in the life of Abraham, something has changed. Look in verses 1 through 4, that list of names is a genealogy of the sons of Keturah. It tells about Abraham's sons with her. It tells about his grandsons. And then if you move forward in chapter 25, you come to verses 12 through 18, which we will next week. Then we come to this genealogy of Ishmael and his 12 sons. And then we can't forget about the son of the promise. Who? Who's the son of the promise? Isaac, who he had with Sarah. Now, Moses bookends the narrative of Abraham's death with these two genealogies. And this is what one theologian said. He said, Abraham had no idea just how full his quiver was going to be when he died. God made a promise and fulfilled a promise, partially at least, in the lifetime that Abraham lived, more so than he could have ever dreamed. Listen, I take that just to mean this. God wants for us more blessing than we really realize, if we'll just walk by faith and trust Him. God is able to bless us exceedingly if we'll just do things in His time, in His way, with His people. Isn't that a wonderful truth to live by? Yes, it is. Isn't that a wonderful truth that helps you live a life of faith so that when it comes time to go, you can end it well? And it all depends on whether or not you will trust in God. That's what it depends on. So, church family, are you those people that trust in the Lord? You see, what I see in this is Abraham's quiver was fully stocked. His life ended well by the grace of God. Do you remember what the psalmist said about a full quiver? You remember that? Let me read these words. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." Now, do you think about that? From Abraham's seed came kings and nations. God was taking those sons and releasing them into the world, and of the greatest of nations that came out of that is the nation that Christ Jesus has established. Amen? We are a people. We are the people of God. I guess metaphorically speaking, we were in that quiver with them, weren't we? We were right there. So we know that Ishmael's offspring, nor the sons of Keturah, were the children of promise like Isaac was. But I think what we see in this text is we can see that regardless of that, Abraham loved his sons. He loved his children. He gave them gifts. But for Isaac, he reserved all of his remaining wealth. So at the age of 175, Abraham has been able to see with his own eyes the power of God to fulfill His word in his life. And now in verse 5, we see Abraham giving away. This is his will, if you will. He's giving away his wealth. And he reserves all of his wealth, or the largest share of his wealth, for his son Isaac. And this is what I take from that. Out of Isaac would come Christ. Out of Isaac would come the seed that would in future time deliver to us the Messiah, out of that seed. And so what he was doing is, in his will, if you will, he was establishing the fact that he believed in God's plan A. What was his plan? What was Abraham's plan B when he didn't get Isaac when he wanted him? Hagar. At this point, 175 years, he's into this thing, 100 years of walking by faith. He's like, listen, I ain't going to have another Ishmael. Not going to have another plan B. I'm just going to have plan A. I'm giving Isaac everything. It all goes to the kid. I trust God to fulfill his promise. Therefore, only plan A will I follow. Isaac gets it all. Let me tell you what, church family. That is a life lived well. Trusting in the everlasting promises of God. Church family, do you trust the Lord? That's the question today. During his reign, King Frederick William III of Prussia found himself in a rather troubling predicament. Wars had been costly for his empire, and in trying to build the nation, he was seriously short on finances. So he came up with this brilliant plan. He didn't want to disappoint his people. He didn't want to surrender to the enemy because that was just something unthinkable to him. And so after careful reflection, he decided to ask the women of Prussia to bring their jewelry, all of their gold, all of their silver, to him to have it melted down so that he could use it to finance the war. For each ornament, each piece of jewelry that was sacrificed, he determined to give them a piece of jewelry made of bronze or iron as a symbol of the crown's gratitude for these ladies' sacrifice. So each lady that did that received, gave their gold up, received an iron ornament. It said, I gave gold for iron, 1813. You would think the response would just be underwhelming, but it was overwhelming with patriotism with these women. Even more important, these women prized their iron jewelry more than their gold or silver. And it said the reason why is because the decorations were proof that they had sacrificed for their king. Indeed, it became unfashionable to wear gold or silver jewelry. It was only fashionable to wear bronze. And from this, maybe you've heard of this, came the Order of the Iron Cross. Members wore no ornaments except a cross of iron for all to see. Is there anything too great for God to ask us to give up? You see, that's the point at which we truly begin to live a life of faith. 100 years earlier, God said to Abraham, give it all up and follow me. And he did. 100 years later, at his death, he has lived life well, and he is ending it well. That's how we get ready. Amen? Amen. Is there anything too great for us that God cannot ask us for? Because ending our life of faith well means we lived well a life of faith. And the question before us is this: are we willing to make God's plan for our lives plan A and invest all that we have in it? Well, that's the first thing. Ending well, a stocked quiver. Next thing we see in point number two is this: ending well, a steadying confidence in God. Look at verses 7 through 8. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life. 175 years. Again, this is the obituary, if you will, for Abraham. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. So verses 7 through 8 describe Abraham's life. It describes his later years of his life as years of completeness, as years of satisfaction. I think that those last 100 years after the death of Sarah, not because of her death, don't hear that, he began to put it all together, and he found no better way to live life than to trust the Lord fully with all things. And so his life is described as this completeness, this satisfaction with all things. In other words, I believe we could say that Abraham left nothing undone. He had a steadying and growing confidence in God's faithfulness to the moment of his death. Do you know anybody like that? I've already mentioned Abraham's dedication to unwaveringly follow God's plan, for the fulfillment of the promise as he left it all to Isaac in verse 5. Now that tells us that he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith in God in the way that he lived his life all the way up to the day that he died. And so these verses cast Abraham's life in such a way that we can be confident, unlike his earlier days, his faith was maturing, his faith was steadying, his faith was growing. He was becoming more complete, a man in God. And really, isn't that a life well lived? So these verses tell us he ended life well, without a blemish on his record. One theologian says this: "We have seen how during much of his life he struggled in his relationship with God," and we have we not? "And often responded with fear and manipulation." You remember what his practice was when he would go to places that he didn't know anybody? What would he do? He would sacrifice who? His wife. He would sacrifice his wife. That's manipulation. That's fear and inaction. And so when confronted with obstacles to the fulfillment of the promises, but after the birth of Isaac, he demonstrates a steady confidence in his God. Now let me tell you, church, that is where we all need to get to. That is where we need to get to. Abraham's life, really, isn't it looking into a mirror, church family, for the most part? Don't we take two steps forward and one step backwards, or is it one step forward and two steps backward in our life of faith? Don't we do that? Don't we have these high mountaintop experiences and then we just sort of peter and sink to the very valleys of our faith? That's Abraham's life for the most part, except I think for the last 100 years where he was on this upward trajectory because he had just come to the point in his life where he says, "I can trust the Lord with all things. I can trust him." And maybe that was all happening, if you recall, when that nameless servant brought Rebekah to be married to Isaac. And at that point, everything just opened up for him. It just clicked. I can trust the Lord. I truly can trust the Lord. Has that happened in your life? Are you at the point where God's just used his ordained things for your life, both good and hard, where it's just sort of clicked, and you're at that point? You know what? I can simply trust God. I don't have to worry about what I can't see. I don't have to worry about what I don't know, because I serve a God who sees it all and knows it all. And I will completely rest in Him. Has that not been the challenge of your life over the last year? I have never lived through COVID-19 before, have you? I had to do some deep soul searching. And if you're honest, you'd probably say the same thing. You know what? I'm thankful for that. Because on the other side of that, I can look back and see what God did. We barely missed any Sundays here at church family. We have seen the hand of God upon this church over the last year in ways that are just amazing. We found out there was poison in the church. We're dealing with it. And we're coming out better. We've seen God take care of our church members. Even those who came down with COVID-19, God took care of you. We've seen God work in wonderful ways. Did it click? I can trust the Lord. And has your faith steadied? Has your faith come full circle? Because we have a God who loves us and cares for us. Amen. That's where Abraham died. And I pray that's where we'll die. When it's all said and done, we come to the end of these days, it'll be said of us, they lived a full life. Now, you know what that means? When it says that Abraham died of old age, a man of full years, it's not talking about the quantity of years. We know how many that was, 175. What that is referring to is the quality of life that he lived. And the quality is this: it was full. It was complete. And it happened to be that way because he was a man of tremendous faith. You see, he lived well and he ended well. What a wonderful truth for us to get a hold of. Let me tell you a story about steady confidence. Now, this is one of those stories that you got to listen to, because if you don't, it's just going to right over your head. All right? Promise you, when you get to the end of it, it'll be good. So just listen to me. A woman went to the doctor's office where she was seen by one of the new doctors in the office. But after about 4 minutes in the examining room with this new doctor, she burst out in tears, screaming, running down the hallway. An older doctor stopped her and asked, what was the problem? So he took her into his office, sat her down, he listened to her, and he said, ma'am, just sit right here. And then he goes out of his office to the other doctor's office that had seen her previously. And he says to that doctor, what in the world is the matter with you? This lady is 63 years old. She has 4 grown children, 7 great-grandchildren, and you told her she was pregnant. The new doctor just continued to write on his tablet and said, does she still have the hiccups? That doctor was confident, was he not? Here's something we can all be confident about. Now listen to me. Ending our life of faith well means that we lived well a life of faith. And that takes a steadying confidence in the power of God. Point number three. Ending well, a setting for God's blessing upon his son. Verses 9 through 11, look with me there. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zoar the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field that Abraham purchased from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with Sarah his wife, after the death of Abraham. Now look at this. Look at this. This is important. Verse 11. God blessed Isaac, his son, and Isaac settled at Beer Lahairoi. Now notice that the death of Abraham even brings these two estranged brothers together. Did you notice that? Ishmael and Isaac came together even at the death of their father, Abraham, and were standing there at the gravesite. Now, I don't want to make a whole lot of that. I'm not going to say that they became good buddies after that, but isn't it a sweet and sort of kind of wonderful note that these two brothers came to their father's funeral? I'm so glad Moses wrote that in there, aren't you? It's just a sweet little thought. I just wanted to leave that with you. Well, this text gives us many details about the arrangement of the funeral. If you notice, we've read the will of Abraham. We've read the obituary of Abraham. And really, right now, we're reading about the funeral of Abraham. And what the Bible tells us here is many details. First, he was buried at the cave of Machpelah. This would become a family plot, very important detail, because this was the land that God had promised, or at least part of it. So by having a family burial site here was a sign of faith that God was going to not only bless them with great progeny, but that he was going to give them the land, in fact. So this was a walk in faith. This was Abraham's last sign of faith. Bury me next to mama, because God's going to give us this land. You see, that's the setting that Abraham leaves to his children. And it's this setting of faith. And when we have faith in the Lord as parents, as Sunday school teachers, to those peoples God put in our pathway, we leave them a legacy of faith. And when we leave them a legacy of faith, we are setting them up for the blessing of God. Amen? Now, some of you may be saying, well, I've brought my children to church their whole life, and you know, they're not in church. And let me tell you this. I know that's a struggle. But I just firmly believe that everything that they learned in church about Jesus Christ is not a waste. That somehow, in some way, God is going to use that in their lives. It is never a waste of time to put the Word of God into our kids' lives. I don't care where they go, I don't care what they do. It's never a waste of time to tell them about Jesus. You with me? And this is the setting that we see here that Abraham is leaving to his children, because in that, God is blessing Isaac. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. Now, I can tell you a way that's the same way it is for us as parents. Whether we're biological parents or spiritual parents, we need to make sure that we're leaving a legacy of faith, of this firm confidence, settled confidence in God. We trust you. And I guarantee you, people notice that. And hopefully, by the grace of God, they'll ask, how can I get it? So after death, the Bible just tells us that God blessed Isaac. And that's the setting of Abraham's faith. It sets Isaac up to be blessed by God. So by faith, Abraham trusted the Lord that he would fulfill those promises. And what did Abraham do? He followed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. Listen, our responsibility before God is not to make sure that he fulfills his promise, but that we make sure we fulfill our promise to him. Because when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we don't come to faith just for a fire policy. But we come to faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If he's not your Lord, I doubt he's your Savior. That's the way those things work. And it goes a long way when our kids see us living a life of faith. Does it have to be perfect? If it does, I'm out of the game. But you know what the Bible says? Works affirm our faith. You know, Abraham didn't get saved by works, but he had works to show that he was saved. And isn't that what the Bible teaches us? The half-brother of Jesus says this: was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see, a steadying life of faith will have these works of righteousness that proves our faith. And that's the greatest setting that we can leave for our kids. You know, I firmly believe that it is so important for our children to see us come to church and worship Him every Sunday. It is so important. Now, I believe it's important that they see us praying together, that they see us reading God's Word. I believe all that's important. And I believe equally important that when we're out in the world, that they see us living out our faith before a world that's gone haywire. You see, when we do that, we set them up for the blessing of God. Amen? Ending well. That's what we're talking about. Ending well, a stocked quiver, a steadying confidence in God, and a setting for God's blessing upon His Son. We've learned this today, church family. Ending our life of faith well means we lived well a life of faith. Let me close with this story. Perhaps you've heard of the movie Saving Private Ryan. 1988, Steven Spielberg was the director. It It is one of the hardest movies I've ever watched. I watched it once, I will not watch it again. Not because it's a bad movie, it's just hard to watch. It depicts World War II so well from what I've read and heard. So Saving Private Ryan, if you haven't heard of it, that's okay. It's a hard-hitting World War II movie about a group of U.S. soldiers who were assigned the task of finding Private Ryan, which was the last remaining live brother of the Ryan family. If all brothers are killed and one's alive, that brother has to be released from service to carry on the name. That's my understanding of it. So Captain John H. Miller was assigned this group of guys to go and find Private Ryan because all of his other brothers had been killed in action. So that's the setting of the story. At the end of the movie, at the end of the movie, there's this final heart-wrenching scene. Now we're seeing Private Ryan once again, but he's no longer the young Private Ryan. He is the older Private Ryan that has lived his life. Okay? He goes to Normandy Military Graveyard in France, where American soldiers were buried. He finds the cross with Captain John H. Miller's name on it. He stands before the cross, and you can tell he's emotionally moved. And his wife comes up to him, and with tears in his eyes and a shaking, quivering voice, he says to his wife, "Tell me, I lived a good life. Tell me, I'm a good man." And his wife looks at him incredulously, "Yes, of course." She walks back to where her children and grandchildren were standing, leaving Private Ryan there. And the last thing you see is him standing straight and saluting his captain. Scene fades out. The American flag is wavering in the breeze. A wonderful scene. Isn't that the questions? Isn't that the thing that most of us in here want someone to say about us in the end? They lived well. That's what we want to hear someone say. Church family, the best life we could ever live is a life of faith in God. Trusting in the promises and walking in His light. That is the best life we could ever live. And when we end our life of faith well, that just means we lived well a life of faith. And so we must meet the challenges before us on our journey of faith. As we walk the road less traveled, fears creep in as we face our giants with doubt. And at that moment, we must hear the words of Jesus when He said to His disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And really, isn't that what it all boils down to for us, church family? Isn't it simply that? Do we have faith in God? Because that will change the gate of our life, the trajectory of our pathway. We do not know when we will die. And the question all of us want to ask ourselves is, how will we end this life? Will we live lives of fear, doubt, withdrawal, and caution? Or will we, no matter what our age or even our physical ability, live lives with confident faith in God, seeking to impact our world for Jesus Christ? All of us should live our lives anticipating our reception by God and striving for the affirmation, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." And we do that when we live by faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. It is a wonderful word. It's an encouraging word. It's an enlightening word. It's an ever-living word. And it's exactly what we need for a faith lift. And so I pray today, Father, that in our lives, where our faith has been sagging, that you have lifted it and restored us, that we will trust in you. In Christ's name, amen and amen.